what, St. Louis, and then they're home for the end of it. From the 24th to the 29th, they'll take on Cincinnati at home for two, and then Houston for three, and that could be a potential, you know, matchup in the playoffs too. So it'll be it's going to be interesting. The other thing we didn't talk about too was how hot the Tigers are right now, because, you know, I was talking about how the AL Central looks, and, you know, you're talking about the Twins or the Tigers in that last six seed, and that's could come down to the last day of the season.
8-2 in their last 10.
So it'll be interesting to see.
Cy Young Award winner right there.
So then you could be looking at
Cy Young Award winner.
You could be looking at Detroit, Houston, if Houston ends up as a three seed. Or you could, I mean, you could be looking at Houston, and then if the Guardians had to play in the wild card, then they would probably, it would be them or Detroit or them. And so you'd have an AL Central matchup to get to Houston. So let's see how that rolls. I you think it's gonna be Minnesota? Did the Guardians break Minnesota's spirit?
I think injuries broke Minnesota.
Yeah,
and the fact
I know,
that those guys came back so much later than a lot of people thought. But
yeah, the Guardians sent them to the glue factory.
Probably might have been the final one. Like that might have been the final nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
Sadly, but like I think injuries did them in more than anything else.
All right, I'm going to play some stuff.
They should, because that team was built to be, sadly, that team was built to be injured.
I want to play some stuff from yesterday right after they clinched. So we're going to play it. So I do want to take a couple phone calls. Zach is in Cleveland. Hi, Zach.
How are you, Zach?
Hey, man.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. Sorry, I couldn't hear you guys. The sound all went out for a second.
You know, it's like just like my kids, man. My kids don't hear me either. It's insane.
Hey, man. Great feeling yesterday, and it was awesome. Obviously, you know, most of us were working yesterday when that game ended.
Still 21,000 at the ballpark yesterday. Good crowd.
Yeah, but to be able to be, most of us to be in the car or listening at work to hear Hammy, like you touched on it too, like
right?
You know, crossing enemy lines. And it sucks.
Yeah,
it sucks. You guys
you know
can't
what?
Play those clips. I love I love Underwood and Manning. I love hearing those guys too. It kind of sucks not being able to hear you know, the calls from Hammy, but being able to hear yesterday was awesome.
Zach, let me share a story with you really quick. I mean, Hammy is not a quiet guy, right?
Oh.
And I got to tell you, it's amazing just because I was lucky enough to go on the road with that team for 6 years and maybe even stand in the booth that was next to the radio booth for Hammy. And, like, when Hammy makes that call, man, it comes from his soul.
I'm sure he's got to have like soundproof windows up there so he doesn't people's calls.
It's really interesting. What, like, I remember being in Minnesota and he called like a Travis Hafner home run that was unbelievable. And like you could hear it and like you felt the electricity of the ball. And like everybody in the Metrodome at the time, I think, heard him. And it was just like, I don't know. I just think it's so special, and we're so lucky.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's also that old Cinder Park Metrodome where all that sound echoed all over the place, which was perfect.
He's definitely one of the best. Like, we're blessed to have him. And you know, when it goes away, it's definitely going to be a huge void that somebody's going to have to fill. But what I wanted to call on, guys, is that this team has shown a lot of resilience this year in every position, right? I mean, there's been a ton of question marks all year long. You know, we're wondering who's going to play this position or who they're going to call up or can they call this guy up? And all year long, they've just fought through every piece of adversity. So I don't think it matters who we play. I don't think it matters when we play. I think we just got to show up and play until the game's over. And they've shown that the last two nights. We lead the league in comeback wins. 42, I'm pretty sure, is what I saw last night, if I'm not mistaken. We just have to play the entire game. Not give up. This team has not given up all year long, and that's why they are where they are right now. Excited to see where it goes, guys. I got goosebumps talking about it right now, boys.
You
Me
got
too.
It.
It's
playoff
be fun.
Baseball is back, boys.
Thank
it's
you,
It's going to be fun. And he's right. This team doesn't quit. At no point do they roll over and quit, no matter how big the lead is. They're there. They're still going. They're still taking the extra base. They're still doing the little thing. They're still all of that stuff that has made this team successful, they continue to do.
Jerry, I'm assuming Cleveland Heights. Where are you, Jerry?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I told you. I think you make an excellent Heights. Kelsey's are, I hope, throwing out the first ball in the playoffs.
Oh, wow. They probably have football.
Well, one of them has football. The other one, who knows what.
Yeah. The Tigers are hot. The hottest team in baseball. I'd love to see them knock out the Astros because I think they'd run out of gas eventually and we'd be playing them. But you make an excellent point about getting the bye. because of Cobb. You want Cobb to pitch in the playoffs. You want him to start. The guy's been there. He's a tremendous pitcher. I don't know what it is with the blisters and the fractured fingernails, but I would love to see him start. We have a mess with Gavin Williams, and, you know, Cantillo is terrific, but he's a rookie.
I kind of like that about him. If you were listening to him in the clubhouse afterwards, I mean...
Young and dumb benefits a lot of
we'll
people.
Play some
I'm not
of that.
Trying to. I'm not trying to say that as crass as that comes out, but like it's kind of nice to not know the pressure you're supposed to be under.
I'll take Cobb.
Me too.
Yeah, I will too. But I'm
an Alex Cobb homer.
I don't know how you can't like Cantillo right now. How could you not? I mean, the kid's on fire.
Cantillo's pitching great.
Yeah,
he really is.
I was at the game yesterday, and you know he's undaunted. I mean, it doesn't back down. And Eli Morgan yesterday, my goodness, he has the bases loaded, nobody out.
Oh,
and huge. He gets out of it.
Huge. That's what you need in the playoffs.
Anyway, it's been a great season. What do you think of Voit?
You mean
Vogt? Compared to Vogt.
He's been awesome.
Steve-O, number zero, whatever his number is. His, compared to Tito... Tito loved veterans. He wouldn't play rookies. He was stubborn about the veteran play, whether they were in slumps or not. Vogt has a different lineup every day, it seems. He plays everybody. And the way they've handled the pitching is incredible.
Yeah, it's been different. I think it's a team effort, too, especially it has to be with a rookie manager. I mean, it's got to be coming – a lot of it's probably coming from upstairs, too. Let's be honest. I mean – you know, I think he should win rookie. I mean, he should win manager of the year. There's no question. He should get all the credit for it. But I'd love to just kind of spend a day trying to figure out, you know, the pregame and what's going on before the game to see how those decisions are made throughout the game and how that goes down. But he has had an amazing year. Thank you, Jerry. And I can't see him not winning manager of the year. And by the way, sorry. You should hear what Austin Hedges said about him after the game yesterday. I know we were going to play Cantillo there for a second, but now I want to play Austin Hedges. And, you know, here's what he said about Vogt and being, you know, his managerial skills this year.
Wow.
What did he do last year?
He won a World Series with a Rangers team managed by Bruce Bochy, who is either... I don't think Boch is in the Hall of Fame yet, but boy, when he finally retires, it's going to be like, yeah, bud, you're in.
I mean, that's pretty amazing to say about a rookie manager from a veteran player. I mean, that's some pretty solid, I got your back on that. In fact, he followed up with that about, so like why he's been such a good manager. Yeah. I think that, I mean, when you look at it, when I think about Vogt, I think about the scales of justice. Right? And you know how you're trying to get him even when it's all like that? Because I do think that he's got the one side of the scale that's got to be a player's manager that's trying to be able to do all those things that Austin Hedges said. And then on the other side of the scale, you've got the numbers, the analytics, and the front office that are trying to kind of tip the scales one way or put them the other way. And that's why he's manager of the year. Because he's figured out a way, it's why he should be manager of the year, because he has figured out a way not only to get the message, interpret the information, but be able to deliver the information to the players too. And let's not sell the guys around him short. He has a fantastic staff around him. Fantastic. You're going to tell me Sandy Alomar shouldn't be a manager somewhere? Come on now. Right? You don't want to tell me Carl Willis is like, he's been around for a long time. He gets it. He understands it. He's the big train, man. He gets it. And especially, you know, against his old team yesterday, Twins.
They have always said that the modern manager is more of a psychiatrist than anything else.
And a media member. I mean, or a media spokesman.
Right. That he's the front-facing, you know, part of the organization. The guy talks twice a day. Like, it's a different animal than what it was when Earl Weaver was doing it. You know, it's a different animal than even Jim Leland. You know, and those great managers and all that stuff that we could all point to over time. Now it very much is... the organization is crunching the numbers, putting a lineup together, all that stuff. I'm sure Steven Vogt can put his thumb on that every so often. It's shown with this team because he plays everybody. If you're on this team, you play. There's nobody sitting on the end of that bench just twiddling their thumbs, not seeing an at-bat for six games. Those guys don't exist on this team.
Well, I always think it's silly. If you're going to call somebody up from AAA, you need to play them.
Yeah.
Right? If you thought they were worthy enough of being big leaguers, especially when they first get here, and he does that, man.
Stephen
he gets them out on the
field.
Stephen
Vogt has done that from the beginning. He's done that from the very beginning of it's like, I need to keep everybody fresh. We're rotating this through. Everybody's getting days off. Everybody's playing if you're on the roster. Like, that's the, at least to me, it's a motto that makes sense, and it is a motto that has helped this team. Yeah, Jose Ramirez gets the majority of the at-bats. He should. He should always be out there. But everybody else, I'm in for the rotation.
We'll talk more Guardians throughout the show. You'll hear more reaction from yesterday, too, but we got a lot of other things to do today, including talking to Tiki Barber, former Giants running back. What do you think about this weekend's game against the Browns and the Giants? You're going to find out next right here. Baskin and Phelps with Dan Menigan, 216-474-0092.